The Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born, then told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We have this lovely report, this account of these wise men, also called magi, sometimes also called kings, traveling from the east because they're coming to see Jesus, the infant Jesus. These mystery men, who we have a vague idea of what their names might be, they packed up all their gear and their camels, their rations, their supplies, and of course, they probably had a traveling entourage with them. They brought them across the Fertile Crescent to see a baby. By the way, it's worth noting that in Matthew, we don't actually know how many magi there were. We call them the three kings or the three wise men, but that's only because there's three gifts. There could have been many more, and I offer that only because maybe we could count ourselves in this random traveling party that's heading across hill and dale to come see an infant. Now, Matthew does tell us that when the wise men come to Jerusalem, when they show up, it's in chapter 2, verse 1. Right away, they appear. Jesus is born in chapter 1, magi appear in chapter 2. And breathlessly they ask, "Where's the child who has been born King of the Jews?" They haven't even met Herod yet. But Herod, because he receives this word somewhere through his back channels, now he's terrified. He's a little freaked out because he's the king. Well, he's the puppet king appointed by the Roman emperor, but whatever, he's supposed to have the power. And now we're hearing word that there's this king that's born in his midst. These are the first breaths of the birth of Christ. These are the very first breaths that Jesus is exhaling as an infant, and already all the power dynamics are beginning to shift. No longer are the political elites and the wealthy influencers going to have the say over God's people. A new king has arrived. A new kingdom is beginning to take shape. But we're not there yet. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves because the magi came to see a baby. Jesus is still just a baby. This is only a couple of weeks from Christmas Eve. He's still in swaddling clothes. He's still being cared for by mom and dad. He's still in that manger. He can't do anything, let alone topple an empire and bring about justice and equality for God's people. But clearly there's something there in that manger. There's something for these magi to pack up their lives and to come see him. So the question becomes, what are they doing there? These wise men, why did they go there? Why did they travel that far out of their territory, out of their comfort zone, out of everything that they knew, out of everything that they had built for their lives, their castles maybe, or their beautiful homes, or maybe their great wealth and their riches, whatever they had, everything that they had, they left it all behind to see an infant in a manger. And I know, you and I are 21st century post-resurrection Christians. We can probably rattle off all the reasons. We have enough stained glass windows around us. We could spend all day just giving the reasons why we would go to see Jesus. We could say that Jesus is the Son of Humanity. We could say that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's Almighty Lord. He's Wonderful Counselor. He's our Savior. He's our source. He's our life. He's Emmanuel. He is God with us. And those are all good reasons. for us. Why did the Magi come? And of course, we can't answer that because Matthew doesn't know that. He doesn't write that in his report. He's got a pretty solid report about what happens, but he can't get into their heads. He can't get into their hearts. He can't get into their hopes or expectations. All we know is they made a choice, driven by probably dreams and angels, the Holy Spirit, stargazing. They made a straight path across the desert. They climbed over mountains. They had very little water. They probably had very little food besides what they brought with them. They had all their gear and these really kind of weird gifts that they're bringing to a baby. And they do all of this to see an infant they've never met, whose name they don't know. They've got a star. They've got some maps. It's about it. But clearly for them it was enough. So why did they make that trip? But we don't know that. And if I keep asking that question over and over again, that answer is not going to magically appear, so we'll just get out of the hypothetical. Let's bring this story actually closer to us. Let's bring it into our heads and into our hearts, our questions, our personal mysteries. Because remember, there's room for us in this traveling party. And clearly, every single one of us here on January 7th, 2018, on a brisk morning, we have made the choice, driven by dreams and maybe angels and memories and the Holy Spirit, to come here, back to the manger. Each of us has come here and we put aside our chores, we put aside our exhaustion, our frustrations, our personal wants to be somewhere else. We've brought with us our nostalgia, our grandmother's love, our vague notions of, you know, that Bible verse that we can't quite quote, but it still speaks to us in some way. We brought all our hopes. We brought all our terrors. We brought it all here. And we're in the manger. So why are you here? Why are we here? Why is Trinity Lutheran Church still here at Brayton and Ogle after all these years? Why are we here? What draws us here week after week to surround ourselves with these words and with these songs, with these stained glass windows and everything that's about our life and about our faith? What brings us out of the life that we know to be in this life that God gives us? Why are we here? For some of us, we're here because we need a word of grace. It's been a rough week, or a rough month, or a rough year. Maybe a rough decade. We've slipped on our addictions. We've made a few wrong decisions. We've burned a bridge. Or three. But we heard somewhere along the way in our journey that God forgives and God loves. And we know somewhere through our experience of Christmas that this unwavering love is Jesus being born among us, because this is God coming to be with us. So we are hoping to maybe catch a glimpse of this love. Some of us are here because our parents dragged us here, maybe even kicking and screaming. Even if our parents have been gone for a generation, still their voices ring out in our heads. And yeah, maybe we're still a little bit annoyed by that. All this talk of forgiveness and love and all the warm fuzzies that people give about in church. And we also hear about justice and peace and righteousness, but we don't experience that in the world. But we're also here because we're secretly grateful that we were dragged here, so that we could hear again that God has not abandoned us, that God loves us, that God is still working even through us, and words like forgiveness and justice and peace and reconciliation are being spoken in our world, even if through these halls and through our voice. For some of us, we're here because we need to hear again the story of God hearing our prayers. For some of us, we're bored, and we're waiting for the Holy Spirit to kickstart us and get us moving again. For some of us, we're tired of being tired and chasing around every little thing so that we are worn out by the end of the day. We need rest. Some of us need peace. Some of us need healing. Some of us need presence. Some of us need the strength to keep confronting the powers of this world that keep stealing power from our neighbors. For some of us, we need protection and courage to be who we are meant to be as God's people. For some of us, we want the strength to be an advocate for others. And for some of us, we need an advocate, because we are continuously being silenced. And some of us, we need bread. And not that churchy, spiritual goodness bread that we pray about. Real bread that fills our bellies and fills our pantry. For every reason that got us here this morning, we're here. God got us here, and we are together, and we are traveling together, and we are worshiping together, and we are being loved and forgiven and empowered. We are being refined and renewed and reborn together. We show up here in this manger, and we bring all our baggage and all of our gifts, and God receives us and loves us as we are, broken, bruised, angry, doubtful, and full of hope. Because it's hope through the risen Christ. It is hope through a born Christ. It is hope through God's love. It is hope through a promise of forgiveness that keeps moving us forward and drawing us back to God's light. Because through all of our questions, all of our doubts, all of our sins, and all of our redemption, we are brought here to be in the presence of God. We are brought here to know that God is born among us. We are brought here to remember again that God loves us so dearly that God would become even us in this place, helpless and futile and empowered and boldened. We are brought here so that we can remember again that we are part of a body. We are brought here to remember that our neighbors are suffering. We are brought here so we can be confronted and convicted, and we can be declared new and sent out with a new power and a new word. Maybe that's why we encounter the Magi right away, right at the start in the Gospel of Matthew. These countless traveling wise men and women who are traveling across the desert or wherever they came from to be in the presence of Christ. We have no idea why they came, and we know exactly why they came. They are empowered by the hope of knowing that something new is at work in this world, and it is the birth of Christ. So they came, so that they could bear witness to the birth of this new kingdom. They came because they believed and hoped that God would transform this world. They came with all the same questions that you and I bring every single week. And they came because they were expecting to see a promise be fulfilled. So we come, brothers and sisters. And some weeks we don't hear the word that we're looking for, and some weeks we are empowered and refined by these waters and by this meal. We come because we are bound to this community, and we come because we trust in this hope that invigorates us and enlivens us, empowers us to leave these doors searching for Christ in every home we encounter. Amen.